Oh, what a beautiful morning.
Where's the teaspoon? Not you, the teaspoon. Ah, here we are. Pan American Airlines, made in the USA. Isn't that disgraceful? 5 miles up and licking the tableware.
Oh, what a beautiful teaspoon. Oh, what a...
Ah, suppose that's all right. Smells like coffee. Ugh, what a horrible mess. Why doesn't all that grit sink instead of just whizzing round in the middle? Can I follow the manufacturer's instructions? Damn, shouldn't have done that. Cat's dinner gong, that is. Now, let me see. Your delicious, easy-to-make, aroma-rich cupquick. Spelt with a wealth of K's. Fresh ground and freeze-dried for your instant pleasure. Shut up. From the finest quality beans of sunny Brazil. They go mad, these label writers. Get not on the table. Drunk with a printed word. Let's see round the back. No, not yours. Shove off. Your cupquick is entirely free. Oh, that'll be the day. 98p for the tiny family size. Entirely free of caffeine, chicory, and injurious alkaloids prohibited by the Council of Europe Injurious Substances in Non-Alcoholic Beverages Regulations. Interesting. Not a word on how to sink a whizzing great Canadian log jam. Could it be sunk with milk, I wonder? What we want is some milk. Ah, say, how about that for my instant pleasure?
Good morning.
I shouldn't be surprised.
You're up early this morning.
You what?
Nice morning, too.
I left two, didn't I?
You did indeed, yes. Thank you very much. Two exactly. One, two.
You were saying?
Nothing. Nothing. I just said you're up early this morning.
Two she ordered, two I left.
Thank you very much.
I'm up early every morning, mate.
I realise that. I was only...
Didn't order nothing else, did she? Eggs, butter, cooking fats, yoghurt, cordials, fancy whip?
No, no, no.
She never does.
Really? I hadn't...
Right then. You want to try it, dragging up this driveway 7 days a week, 2 pints of silver top.
Yes, I think he's a different man. Definitely not the one in the commercials. With his infectious grin, bathing all the world in sweetness and light. Well, here we go. Stick your finger through... Ow! Right in the eye. Oh, excellent. I thought that gag went out with Ben Turpin. Oh, damn, I was wearing this shirt for today's lunch. Oh, what's good for milk stains? Cold tea, is it?
Rolf Driscoll's lean brown fist travelled a mere 4 inches. With a shuddering grunt, the milkman doubled in his tracks, and the private detective, as his hat went rolling down the driveway... Or does that sound like the private detective's hat? Let's think. Put yourself in the idiot reader's place. This detective doubles up the milkman with his lean brown fist. So whose hat do you expect to go rolling down the driveway? Come to think of it, does Driscoll wear a hat? Hat, hat, hat. Let's have a look. No hats. Page 40, wearing a thoughtful smile. Page 37, wearing a long white dress. Ah. What? Ah, that was the corpse's auntie. Let's not get kinky. So, no hats. Good. What do I mean, good? Oh, I've forgotten where I was now. I don't know. I wonder if the BBC's up yet.
45 and 75 metre bands. And that was the end of the world news.
Can't be. The end of the world, nice day like this.
It's 05 hours Greenwich Mean Time.
Thank you. You don't sound very worried. So, that's 06 hours Gerald C. Potter time. He's been out here 50 minutes in his little wooden writing hut. And what has he written? 7 lines. Rolf Driscoll's lean brown fist travelled a mere... It was no surprise to Rolf. Just a minute. Are we on first-name terms with this brown-fisted git? Surnames are tougher. It was no surprise to Driscoll. No, I've just said Driscoll. No surprise to the private detective? Of course, if Diana was up, I could speak to her. Before her time, I expect.
It's 6:30 past 7.
Not a chance.
And if you're driving today in the Fish Guard area...
Just the Brighton area, actually. Still, you never know.
Diversion owing to a parade of shire horses and vintage farm machinery.
Anything for the Marine Parade, Brighton?
I have a very, very lovely letter here from Mrs. Ramona Boggs, or is it Bugs?
So not all our propositional substructures are isomorphic.
Is that a fact?
Even in our conjunctional complementations.
Oh, yes, really flowing now. No surprise. The hat rolled away. That the features thus disclosed were those of Vasilios Ionides. Mrs. Tite was right. It was the man with the painted leg. Exclamation mark. How about that? A whole half page, and I've only been out here. Let's see.
And finishing with the news in finishing. In Finnish. The news in finishing. Sorry. Was that okay?
Lovely, dear.
Radio 4 at 9 o'clock. First, the headlines.
I shall read this to Diana.
More than 100 Portuguese grandmothers have arrived at Aberdeen. Mr. Ted Gullett, a distant cousin of the Queen.
4 hours' work to be proud of, I call that. Oh, what a gifted young writer. Oh, what a talented man.
Oh, you were up early this morning.
I'm up early every morning.
All right, I was only just saying.
Just for a couple of silver tops.
Well, I was only up late because I was up late.
Never any eggs, butter, cooking fats.
It was 2:30, and I only wrote one chapter.
Yogurt, fancy whip.
Are we talking about anything?
I'm sorry, you're not to worry. Rolf Driscoll doubled him in his tracks. I don't think that husband of hers is any good. More coffee?
Thank you. Husband?
He's never at home. Just leaves us stuck there with the kids. Not so much as a worm.
A what?
A worm.
Well, he is a worm. They're all worms. That's why she leaves him.
No, she doesn't leave him. That's just my point. He leaves her.
Yeah, well, she leaves him in chapter one. Look, I'm the one who's writing about them, aren't I?
You are?
Yes.
Darling, I didn't know about this. Versatility, I call that with a capital V. Here am I grinding out the same old stuff, and there are you...
Gerald!
...branching into fresh woods and pastures new. I just didn't know.
Yes, you did. You suggested the names, Grace and Gideon. And I never liked them.
Oh, pity, pity. Still neither do I much. I mean, not for blackbirds. Oh. Well, there we are, 9 o'clock. It does strike 3 for 9, doesn't it? Or is it 9 for 3? Now, I just want to read you something, if I can find it.
Turn off the Mitzvah.
I brought it in especially. I'm sorry. Yes, by all means.
And speak up a bit.
Sorry. By all means.
Thank you.
Seems a shame, really. Such nice music. But it's Mozart or me. Ah, here we are. The private detective's lean brown fist. Yes. I don't know how you managed to find such nice music on the radio. You're a clever creature.
Well, it's a record.
It is indeed. All I get in that blasted hut is shire horses in Fish Guard and hundreds of Portuguese grandmothers arriving at Aberdeen. Mrs. Tite was right. It was the man with a painted leg! Exclamation mark.
It's just as bad with the music off.
It is?
I mean, I'm still not hearing you properly.
Mrs. Wright was tight. No, that's wrong. Anyway, look, just listen to me.
No, you listen to me.
Darling, you can't say that.
Well, I do say it.
It's terrible. It's the dialogue cliché second only to, if that's the way you want it, that's the way I want it. The TV scriptwriters make it up in a rubber stamp from their little John Bull printing outfits and keep it with the others in a handy rack. It's been a long time, and let me look at you, and I can explain everything.
Yeah, that's all I'm asking.
And don't bother to see me out. It goes with tenderly drawing the covers over sleeping tots, and finding your last cigarettes gone, and screwing up the packet, and turning mousy librarians into lovely ladies.
I take your point.
By removing their glasses.
I take it!
Sorry, darling. Sorry. My fault. Got carried away. Can you forgive me?
There's nothing to forgive.
She can't say that.
There you are. I couldn't hear you. I'm worried about my ears. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Have you or have you not, in the course of very few minutes, mentioned a Mrs. Tight, shire horses, hundreds of Portuguese grandmothers and men with painted legs?
That was the milkman.
Also a selection of dairy produce, including yoghurt, cooking fats and fancy whip.
The milkman again. I worked him into rather a good scene. Now, if I could just
read
you the...
Blackbirds?
He is really the man with the painted leg.
Did you above all mention blackbirds?
It's a new twist, you see. Probably never been done before. He's an actor, actually, but really in Greek intelligence. Splits his trousers just before curtain rise at Peer Gynt and has to daub his leg with what proves to be ineradicable shoe dye. So if Driscoll can only get his pants off, the milkman's pants, did I mention what?
Did I or did I not hear you say blackbirds?
I think you did. Yes. Yes, yes, of course you did.
Oh.
Yes, I was looking at that nest out there in the, what is it, clematis? Say, out there she is, you see? Still stuck there. And where's hubby, I'd like to know? Poncing around next door in old Gable's shrubbery. And of course, darling, if you're writing this book about blackbirds, you'll have made a note of that. Is there any more of this stuff?
Dear God.
I made some this morning that came out like flea soup. Well, never mind. Right, men. This is the captain speaking. Now, hear this. I'm sorry, you were saying something, number one?
Not saying, just praying. Dear God, please make me a good girl. And remember to clean my teeth. And please don't let me strike him with anything.
Inside the complicated little cranium of wife and novelist Magnolia Badminton, your Mrs. Potter, as I often call her, rum things happen. The mechanism is eccentric. Priorities get jumbled. Show her a freshly cut lawn, for instance, and she'll be across it in six strides, picking weevils off the gypsophila. Tell her you're out of herrings and tomato, and she's off to the shopping list writing dustbin liners. Magnolia Badminton, the human grasshopper. Chup, chup, scraping her back legs together. In fact, of course, this isn't really Miss Badminton so much as Mrs. Potter. When you think how Miss B, the well-known literary lady, can stream out a whole chapter at 2 a.m. and never lose track of who's shacking up with whom, you'd have expected an intelligent ear and a clear head for a mere half-page of The Man with the Painted Leg, which I see as one of my better titles, incidentally. But no, there was, well, there was this communication gap. Looking back, I realised that we'd had it during the whole conversation, despite my efforts to be extremely lucid throughout. And it was worse when I began the reading. I mean, not only was my audience Mrs. P rather than Miss B, but I soon detected something even the non-literary husband may be up against from time to time. An unaccountable predisposition to umbrage. Like those days when you breeze into milady's boudoir with a smile and a song and a tea tray, and instead of thank you, my sweetheart, all you get is, and about time, too, did you have to fetch it from Darjeeling? The inexperienced husband is often thrown by this, you know. His shining morning face slumps into a pale hue like a snooker player's waistcoat. And though we veterans learn to take it as the anniversaries click past, it still has the power to surprise and mystify. As in this case. I'd barely got the milkman hat rolling as he doubled in his tracks when she broke in to say, what was all that mess on the kitchen floor and why had I used today's milk instead of yesterday's and the ground coffee instead of the instant? I knew very well she'd swapped the tins. How often did she have to tell me I never listened to a word she said, and another thing, I never told her anything either. So there it was. Something rotten in the state of Potter, but what? Without that last bit, I might have risked a diagnosis. Did she perhaps want to read to me instead of the other way round? In the ordinary way, we neither of us do either. But when you get two writers under one roof... Or two roofs, actually, of course, mine being out in the garden. It's bound to happen now and then, on days of exceptionally proud achievement. Anyway, I was ready to offer generous terms on this. She only had to lend an ear to my little gem of Rolf Driscoll, and I'd do the same for her entire rollicking chapter on Lady Betty Butterfield and the double bass player. Not then, of course, we had to be down at Brighton for lunch. But I'd given her a rain check, or accepted one, whichever way a rain check works. But there was that last bit. What did she mean, I never told her anything? This, I said to myself, could be the lurking nub. The viper in the bosom. I wasn't putting it well, but I knew what I meant. If you know what I mean. And after breakfast, where the silence had only been broken by a radio programme on steam organs, I ventured an inquiry. What do you mean, I never tell you anything?
Still some egg on that.
Well, you needn't throw them.
Is it just one?
No, it's that one as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, steady, that went right up my sleeve. I mean, just one thing.
Scritch it with the scritcher.
What I mean is, when you say I never tell you anything, I think you could be thinking of just one thing you think I haven't told you.
Right, it's no good just gliding them through the water, like canoeing.
Only I can't think what.
Are these supposed to be washed?
It isn't as if I'd sold the house or anything.
Mustard. Who's Elsie?
Decided to stand for Parliament. Run out of gin without telling you.
There's marmalade on the handle.
I never know how that happens. Funny thing about marmalade. Man I once met at Hatfield Station had a theory that it lives on after death. And if you leave a knife and marmalade pot alone in an empty room, when you come back to them... Elsie? What else is that?
I'm asking the questions. Frying pan?
Oh, hell. Now, look, darling, you've half drowned me with that thing. I mean, really, honestly, you know, this is the second shirt today, damn it. I haven't known an Elsie since 1952. Tall, thin girl with a handbag that squeaked in the pictures. I am soaked to the socks, damn it.
She sniggered a lot.
On the contrary, she collected flint arrowheads. Look, hand me a towel, will you? I have got both eyes full.
I'm over here now. She sniggered a lot this morning on the phone when she left the message just before you came in.
I am blinded with this stuff.
Confirming lunch today, 1 o'clock at the Miramar. Brayton. Marine Perini. Are you Mr. Potter's secretary, she said. And I said, not likely. And she said, fine. She said, snicker, 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 snicker. Just checking his diary that he's lunching with Elsie.
Good. Is this the towel?
Take your wet hands off me.
Oh!
In the grill room, tell him she sniggered off. Oh, you've got the cat's towel.
Well, never mind. She can get it disinfected. Yeah, that's better. I never thought I'd see you again.
No comment at this time. How about one from you? Could you expand on that?
Yeah, glad to. Are you sitting comfortably?
Mm-hmm.
Once upon a time, there was a literary agent called Lionel Caxton Hawkehurst, or LC for short, who lived at the seaside and sometimes took his favourite authors out to lunch down there. And naturally enough, everyone called him LC.
Oh, rubbish.
Well, I never do, owing to a keen sense of the ridiculous. And he's 6'3" and used to be scrum half for Blackheath.
Bill.
But his secretary, a laughing little flat-heeled jumper girl, unhappily named Winnie Flushing.
Balderdash!
Who looks as if she was training to be an aunt.
Bull and phooey.
And like all secretaries, assumed that everyone else has secretaries. She naturally called him Elsie without a flush. And one lovely summer morning, when every prospect pleased and only milkmen were vile... You don't want to put a word in there? Piffle? Poppycock?
Try it.
Good enough. She was checking Elsie's diary.
Tripe and muck!
Darling.
Hooey and drivel!
You're beautiful when you're angry, said Nigel, his lips seeking hers.
Get your hands off!
With that bit of hair coming loose at one side.
Gerald!
You're absolutely right. Yes, you are.
What?
Absolutely, providing Miss Locke is. We ought to leave in half an hour if we're going to get that free lunch for two. Not improbably, with a flagon of tax-deductible Bollinger.
Well, we all know what Dr. Johnson said about the dog preaching a sermon. Or was it the woman walking on her hind legs? Well, it was something of the kind. It is not done well, said the doc, but you are surprised to find it done at all. I mean, my getting round Miss Badminton like that. In any case, it was only half done, really. I'd expunged the picture of crime writer found in Love Nest, full story on page 10, but my further alleged lapse... in not having told her that Agent Hawkehurst had wished her to grace our luncheon table, had to be sorted out while we donned our more social trousers and I found a shirt unravaged by milk and bacon water. But the fact was that a touch of umbrage still lurked, even as we sped a little late with one thing and another, down what she still thinks of as the A23, in her old-fashioned way. Do you still think of this as the A23? In your old-fashioned way.
Why not?
It's the M23 now.
No, it isn't, you fool. The M23 only comes south as far as Pease Pottage.
If you say so.
I say so. When it runs into Pease Pottage...
I know. Its wheels start slipping in the green slime.
Oh, ha-ha. Hoot! Well, it's been a fantastic day so far, I'll say that.
Fantastic. Fantastic day today.
Blackbirds, flint arrowheads, men with painted legs and the kitchen swimming in milk.
sand, chalk, ash, gravel, ballast, hard core and shingle.
Let alone lunching with a boring, great scrum half called Elsie, rushed at me without a word of warning.
What's that?
Only this truck. I was just reading its back end.
I must be mad. Mad. Do you know that?
No. We all get these.
Shut up! Left here, left. What am I doing here? Tell me that. I could be halfway through chapter 11. Who wants lunch? Give me a bit of bread and cheese at the draining board any time and back to work with the mind still clear. Your big ape of an agent. It just makes me a company wife, that's all.
And wonderful company, too. That's why he particularly
asked. Like in General Motors and U.S. Steel, the job's yours, fella, if your wife stands up.
Marine Parade, good. You'll be all right after a few drinks.
Oh, thank you so much. Sober, a right drag, half-stoned a dog.
There's the sea.
Fancy, right up against the coast like that.
I wasn't going to tell you this, darling, but...
Oh, that's quite usual, yes?
I think he wants you.
Oh, good.
I think so.
But you haven't told him it's okay yet.
For one of his authors.
Phooey!
Oh, now don't start all that lot again.
Bilge!
Not at all.
Stop at the lights!
Good idea. I thought of doing that. As a matter of fact, he happens to be a colossal fan of yours.
Right!
Admires your books a lot.
They're green!
He doesn't think so.
The lights!
Mm-hmm. No, he thinks they're great. He admires them a lot.
Horse feathers!
That's a good one. No, he always asks after the latest Magnolia Badminton. As a matter of fact... there we are, look. I see a distant awning. I've heard him quote a whole paragraph from one of them.
He did? Oh, I mean rubbish. Which one?
I think it was The Dawn Came Creeping.
I never read a book called The Dawn Came Creeping.
No, that was the paragraph.
Stop the car.
Well, we're not quite there yet.
Stop the car and let me get out.
What? Look, hang on a minute. What the... Oh, but look, now what, Diana? Listen to me. I never said it was a long paragraph. I only...
Have a fantastic lunch!
Diana! Miss Badminton!
Would you like now for ordering, monsieur?
Oh, yes, I think we would like now, wouldn't we, Gerald? For ordering.
Not at all, darling. Lionel, I mean. Yes, please.
Call me Elsie. Goes in?
Yes, sir. Our chef very strongly recommend la salle d'agneau rôti hollandaise.
He does?
Oh, oui, monsieur. Avec le chou rouge et le pain boulangère.
Good. We'll have a couple of large porterhouse steaks. All right, Gerald?
Oh, yes. Anything like that.
Rare for me. Rare for you?
Extremely. I can't remember my last...
Good. Avec les chips and spinach. Now then, for starters... does the chef strongly recommend the lobster soup?
Oh, very strongly, monsieur. La piste d'homard, strictement.
Also this salmon trout?
Most powerfully recommend, monsieur. Very okay. La truie sonnée un peu vile.
Right. In that case, we'll have the artichokes.
Very good, monsieur. Merci.
And you might give the wine waiter a passing kick on the shins.
Monsieur?
We're ready for the hot now. Then the Nuit St. George with the steaks. And I hope he's got the Bollinger on ice. One thing I've learned from a long career on expenses sheets is to find out the chef's recommendations and order something different.
Give me a bit of bread and cheese at the draining board any time.
No, it's a great shame. I'm very disappointed. Always wanted to meet your good lady, very much. Tremendous admirer of hers, I think I told you. Steak all right?
Very much.
Sorry?
She admires you very much.
I think the Burgundy's a bit young. Does she really?
Oh, terribly.
Of course, that agent he's got now.
Let alone lunching with a boring great scrum half called Elsie. Rushed at me without a word of warning.
That's why I wonder, of course.
I beg your pardon?
If I can get her to leave Tony. Because that relationship's not doing her a bit of good. Have some more spinach.
It isn't? Well, I'm glad to hear that. No thanks.
My goodness, no. More chips?
No, thank you.
There we are, then. She's the worst woman in London.
What? Who? I mean, what, she who?
Well, the worst agent. Tony Pilk, the great Antonia. She hasn't had one of her authors into paperback since... the Bollinger. Now, leave it there. I'll do it. It's not broken, is it?
It looks all right to me.
The ankle. You sure it's only sprained, not broken?
Oh, no. No, indeed. No, certainly not. Oh, absolutely nothing. Nothing at all. Yeah, well, I mean, it is. Awful, that is. Yeah, I mean, it swelled up this size. Couldn't stand on it, anything like that. You know, get into the car, kick a wine waiter on the shins. You know, sort of thing.
Stop the car. Stop the car and let me out.
You sure you won't?
Yeah, no, thank you. Yeah,
not just a touch of quiche Lorraine.
No.
Two strawberries.
No.
Slice of the chocolate gatto.
Yeah, full up, I'm afraid.
Yeah, well, just coffee then, waiter.
Did you?
Can be very nasty, falling off a ladder.
Oh, indeed, yes, that had happened. I mean, that is exactly, yes, how it happened, unfortunately. Yes, it, indeed, that's just what happened.
Yeah. No, I'm very disappointed. Mm. You must give her my love. Come on, let's finish the champagne.
But then something else happened. Something very beautiful, really. Admirable in every way. No one could have done it but her, although I say it. I suppose it was about a quarter of an hour later when the waiter brought the bill. In fact, he brought two bills and handed one to me. And Agent Hawkhurst, no doubt thinking that they'd put the booze on one and the grub on the other, said, no, 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 they're both mine. And the waiter said, no, 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 sir, pardon. But Madame particularly said to give to the other gentleman. And we both said, what Madame? And he said, that Madame. The Madame just leaving. And we looked. And we saw that it was. Well, I saw that it was. Queenly she looked. And as a pair of waiters rushed to open the door for her, she gave me a little queenly wave and a smile like the morning sun. As for Agent Hawkhurst, I've never seen a man so unmanned. By God, he said, who's your lady friend? I don't think he even noticed which credit card they took for his bill. Myself, I wrote a cheque. A bit trembly, but legible. £19.68. As to the tip, I felt, all things considered, that nothing under a fiver would meet the case. Darling.
Darling?
That was beautiful. I think that was very beautiful.
Me too, actually.
Yes, actually. You're beautiful too.
I mean, me too, thought it was. It just came to me.
And to whom else could it, is what I said.
What did she say? Elsie? He say?
Nothing for a minute. He was unmanned.
I don't think we should have an arm round me, darling, not on the M23. Look out!
A23. No, all right. Wait till we get home. Then he said, by God, he said, who's your lady friend?
Wasn't that difficult?
Very.
What did you tell him?
Well, I had an inspiration. It just came to me. I told him that you were my first wife.
The Small, Intricate Life of Gerald C. Potter starred Ian Carmichael as Gerald and Charlotte Mitchell as Diana. We also heard Jeffrey Matthews and Edward Kelsey. Basil Boothroyd wrote it and Bobby J. produced it.